When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Craig Houston Talks 2. And just before we introduce our guest for this episode, I'd just like to thank those at the podcast rooms in Glasgow here for their continued support. So it's great to get our latest guest in. No introduction to Rangers fans, and thanks for coming along, Charlie Miller. How are you?
Hello, Craig. How are we?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for coming along, Charlie. No problem, appreciate this. So to start your story.
$5,000 you'd give me, so no worries.
I thought it was six. So your story, Charlie, could you maybe just fill us in from the start of your life up to signing for Rangers and just tell us about where you were and football-wise, who you were playing?
It's a lot of worse for when I was a kid.
Yeah, he's up to your signing.
Obviously, I love saying obviously. But being for Castlemilk, I played with a boys club team in Castlemilk called Craig Boys Club for a year with Alec Patrick and Toddy Reid. Two great guys, and then they went into their Rangers Boys Club, and then at 9, 10 year old I went and signed for Rangers Boys Club, and then obviously I was brought up with my gran, my ma. I've stayed with my ma sometimes, but I was more stayed with my gran. So I don't know my father. I'm never tended to. I don't really care because I had two uncles who have been great with me all my life. It's Jim Miller and Benny Miller. So they were very good for me. But I wouldn't say with a rich upbringing being for Castlemilk, but they too would probably get what I needed. And maybe my grandma chip in now and again. But it was great times. I loved being for Castlemilk. I played for Winlaw Primary School. We won the Glazer Cup with the school at primary at Rosebery, if you remember the old Rosebery.
Yep.
Great days, loved them. We played Scotstoun in the final. Drew for each the first game, I scored a hat-trick. Played the replay on a Wednesday night. I scored three, we won 3-0. Then I had to go straight for that to Benburb, the old Benburb.
Yep.
Playing a cup final from a Rangers Boys Club team against Celtic. We're getting beat 2-0, come on and score two. Goes to penalties, and I miss a bloody penalty to lose the cup. So it was an eventful day, that. But there were great memories. I just loved playing football as a kid. And
so what age? So you're in Castlemilk. Where were Rangers Boys Club playing?
Rangers Boys Club were playing away. Because Tory Glen, we usually, that was probably our home pitch we would play at, because it was all the ash pitches, you know. So obviously, as a wee Rangers club, we used to go in. And they were playing every year, nights and that, and the wee Rangers club, just along for Ibrox. So that was a great upbringing for me. And then at 11-year-old, 12-year-old, I say an S form for Rangers. And it's strange because I was at the game on Saturday doing the halftime draw in the suites, and I was speaking to some friends and that in the Fountain Suite, and there was an older couple sitting at the side of them. And he says, "Charlie, can I introduce myself?" And I says, "Aye, no problem. How are you?" His name was John. He said, "I was the one that tried to get you to sign for Tottenham." I didn't know, I'd never met him before. it was my uncles kept on dinging him and saying, no, he signed for Rangers. So it was strange after all the years then meeting him.
What age were you then when he was trying to sign you for Spurs?
I must have been about 14, 15. So they obviously they were trying to get me down there. And my uncle hangs up and Sir Alex Ferguson as well. My uncle Jim.
Where is he at the time?
Man United. So my uncle Jim, well, so he says no, but I just take it with a pinch of salt. I was happy where I was going to sign, and Rangers was where I wanted to play. Because at the time, Rangers were playing in Europe, probably the biggest club in Britain at the time, spending money, and I thought if I get into that team, then I've got a chance of doing all right.
So you're just on your S forms about 14, did you say?
Well, I signed S form at 11, 12, and then obviously 11, you have to put it under the counter in the draw, and then 12, you can sign S form, and then I loved the S form. It was a good way they'd done it. It was probably early 6 years to take me, or 5 years, whatever it is, for 12, under 12s to under 16. I don't think I played with any more than 30 players. Maybe a wee bit more, but because it was usually the same nucleus of players that played in the team. So it wasn't a revolving door like it is now a bit, you know, with 6 weeks and they're letting kids go. So you actually got the chance to train, meet your guys, play there for a year or whatever, or 2 years, and for me, it was obviously 5 years or whatever, and then went full-time. But as I say, it was great days. I could still play in my boys' club up to 15, and then it went to the, obviously, we went pro-youth. But it was kind of like all the clubs you signed for then had a league, and then we played games like that.
So at that time, you're obviously driving and stuff. Is it your uncles that will help?
My uncle Benny, Tammy May's place. My uncle Jim obviously helped out, but he's a idiot sometimes, because I was supposed to be on the bench against Levski Sofia at Ibrox, and we were training at 2 o'clock, and my uncle Jim comes and picks me up at 2 for the house, and I was supposed to be at Ibrox for 1:45, and I missed the bus, so you could imagine the trouble I got into then.
What age are you there?
What would it have been? Was that 92? 16, 17. So I was in the squad. So I think it was 76, so 94, 92. Remember, no, 93 it was, sorry. The Levski Sofia beat us there. Remember, they beat them 3-2 at Ibrox, and those 2-1 are there. But he bloody came late. He's in the bookies.
Was Walter Smith quite happy that day?
Oh, very happy. It was John McGregor, Matt, went through me. They were more upset, because it was a wee chance for one of their boys to get into the first team, you know, and go and...
So who was taking the team with McGregor? Was
Billy Kirkwood. Kirky, two great. I loved Kirky and John McGregor. They were great at the reserves. Obviously, me, John Chalmers and Alistair Stevenson and Ewan Chester, me, Joe Muller, all these guys for years who helped me when I was coming through as a kid. These were all good guys. And then David Dodds, I loved to bits when I got into the first team, but he was obviously the first team coach. But wee John Chalmers, unfortunately, he's not here anymore. But all these guys really helped. They were all good people.
So who was in team your under-16s, under-18s teams? No, when you were probably getting under-18s because you were first team at the time.
I still played for the under-18s. I played in the BP Youth Cup. We won the BP Youth Cup. We lost to Hearts at Ibrox 3-1 the year before. Hearts had a good, strong team. But they scored after a minute, and we kind of sold the knickers that day, so we did. But, and then we beat Airdrie the following year 5-3 in the final. We were 3-0 down. Kevin Foreham scored 4, I scored the other one. Walter wasn't happy at half-time, I can tell you that.
He was taking an keen interest in that.
Because we'd won everything else. We won the league, the Reserve League West. We won the Reserve League. We won the Glasgow Cup. And we won the... And then that was for us to win the BP Youth Cup. So we had a strong team. And obviously, I came through. I played at, as I say, Rangers Boys Club. And Neil Caldwell, Stuart Ayton, they ended up going full-time. I played with him all the way through. So they ended up coming full-time with me at Rangers as well. So, and I was injured when I'd made my first full season at Rangers. And Stuart Ayton came on for Partick Thistle. And Neil Caldwell played for Rangers that day. And I was injured. I was raging because I'd shin splints, and I was thinking, imagine if Freeze were on the pitch at the same time, it'd have been amazing. But it was a great upbringing at Rangers as a kid, and then full time is your best. See, when you go do your apprenticeship, it's your best time of your life. So it was amazing meeting you guys. But as you go full time, 16. I got in a wee bit earlier. I went in the January because school was on the life at me. And I got in early. School let me go. So I got to see what it was like early doors, if you know what I mean. Because you think you're a good player and then you go full time. And then you're the bottom of the ladder again because you're under 16. You're first year apprenticeship, you've got second year apprenticeship, you've got first year pros, second year pros, you've got the reserves and the first team. So I realised early doors that I'm not wanting to just, if one of the first team players asks me to wash a motor or go for the tickets or take a motor run and get cleaned or whatever, that wasn't really for me because I wanted to be one of the first team players, you know. So I realised early that you have to work hard, you have to really knuckle down, and I did, and it was 2 great years of apprenticeship. I loved it. And then at 17, I made my debut at Pittodrie, which was great.
So when you're in the youth teams and stuff like that, and you get told you're going to be your first paid professional contract, who delivers that news, and what's that like to live through?
Well, I just signed the contract. I signed it with I don't know who'd done the deal with. I don't know if it was Walter or... Because obviously it has to filter through to you. Because there's a budget for all the football, you know what I mean, side it. So, but I think Macy's were on very similar wages as an apprenticeship. I think I got I signed for a wee bit more, I think, and got maybe 150 and 50 quid as well for my grand's digs. And then obviously when I made my debut, I get the 30 grand and I gave my grand 10, put 10 in my pension, and then
pushed
the other 10 up against the wall.
So that was when you made your first team debut. At Pittodrie. And was it true you became the richest man in Castlemore overnight?
He's probably the richest, the highest paid player in Britain for a weekend. Because there wasn't many players on 30 grand a week at 1992.
Aye.
You know what I mean? So,
when you first get told that you cannot even train with the first team, is that quite a sort of...
I fancied myself a day. I thought I could play with him. Obviously, a wee bit weaker in terms of my build and whatever, but I thought football-wise, there wasn't a problem. And then... it was fine. Yeah, it was good to train with them at 16, 17. Because you know you're close if you're training before the guys who are second year pros or whatever on the training room you are. So you know you've got a wee chance.
So when you first take the field, but with all these professionals, were you all with them? Did you used to see them about?
My debut game was difficult because my wee pal Jimmy Bell, unfortunately, he's no ways anymore. Great wee man, maybe a little git, but he's a great man, so he was, loved him. Because I was just helping him put a Pittodrie, we stayed in the ski and do, and I thought I was just going up to help Jimmy with the hampers. So I didn't know that I was playing. So I went up to Pittodrie with the hampers, helped Jimmy put the strips out, and it was 1-13 or whatever the numbers in, because there was no names and that in the back of the strips. So I was just assuming I was just there to help Jimmy, and then we go back to the ski and do hotel, and then Walter names the team. And Miller's in it. Miller and Hatley. And I'm like, I'm the only Miller in here. So I didn't get the chance to go.
Are you nervous?
But I didn't perform. It was a poor performance for me. And then I came on against Raith Rovers in a game we drew 2-2 or something like that. And I didn't do much in the game. And then I started the last game of the season when Kilmarnock had to beat us to stay up, and they beat us 1-0, but we'd already won the league anyway. But and I just didn't play well. And then the next, I'm like, myself, what's up with me? And I'm going. So my first start the next season was against United at Ibrox, and I thought, I'm just going to play here. And it wasn't nervous how I didn't play bad. I just didn't, maybe just wasn't a bit ready yet. But the following year, then I played practically the full season, and it was a great... Great season.
So who did you put out the team to create a space for you?
Well, I played mostly with Stuart McCall that first season. I think Fergie might have been injured, might have had a few injuries to be fair, and that's what's probably got me in, but that's the way football goes. Coyste obviously wasn't he'd broke his leg, and Durante might have been in loan with Big Dunk at Everton as well. So maybe just have been a few things that's helped me. Just have went, bugger this. I'm just going to get in and play. If I get a chance, I'm going to go and play. And we beat Down United 2-0 that day. Loudrup scored a great goal. And I played well, and it was good. And then I felt comfortable. And then I played every game for the end of the season, practically.
And there's the famous story about Beckham's goal.
Yep.
On the halfway line.
Yep. Well, obviously, I was sponsored by Adidas, and my name were on them, Adidas Charlie. And David Beckham, they were obviously trying to sign David Beckham up for Adidas. And the rest is history. He goes and gets a pair of my boots and takes on my magic. Now he's a billionaire and he scores a goal for halfway line, and I can't even kick the ball that far.
How much do you think the boots are worth today?
Oh, I don't know. But they're in his academy, probably. I think I've seen them. Good on him. He's made a decent life for himself. And
do you think he got nervous when Charlie Miller's
boots? I think so. I think it was that. I think it was, definitely. It wasn't him. He didn't shoot. It was actually me shooting.
You've done it. You've all
to be fair, he could have done it with a pair of welly boots on.
You mentioned the shin splints there. Is that something that you had a recurring problem with? Or was
no,
it just
it was just that kind of one-off. I was playing a lot of games, physical. No playing at that level before probably didn't help. And no being as... Still being a kid, practically. It's 18-year-old. Still no being a man. And that doesn't help. You're playing against men every week and getting roughed up a bit at times, but try to obviously rough other guys up. But I loved it. And then I was supposed to go to South Korea with Scotland, and Walter sends me to Hong Kong with Andy Gorham instead.
That's a good move.
Aye, wasn't it for me, but it was for me and the goalie. That's when I became really close with the goalie, and Archie Knox came, Neil Murray, and then we met Big Oz in Australia. So I was away in Hong Kong for a week and then Australia for a week. And it was 1995, that was, sorry. Was it 1995? 1995, the Rugby World Cup was on, and it wasn't a great idea. Came back with this, he decided, Ricky Neal, a big pumpkin.
Brilliant. So, you're 17 years of age, you're surrounded by probably and arguably one of the best Rangers teams for a long time, and you're pulling your weight, you're playing week in, week out, and... How do you cope with that as a young guy? I mean, you've gone from the kid
fair,
and the apprentice up to playing me Loudrop and playing me Gaza.
To be fair, I didn't think about it. I was just thought I deserve to be there and I'll play if I play and then I'll just give my best. And then I played this second season. I played every game in March and I get involved in this stupid Fox and Hounds incident down at Johnson, and Walter dropped me for the rest of the season.
Have I ever fessed up to you? The guy that was there, was at my wedding? An old pal,
John, the guy he was selling
for. John McKee, Port Glasgow, was his wife, was
pal of
yours. Right.
But there was him and his missus, but there was no trouble. It was just us. We drew one each. My birthday was the next day. We drew one each. We sell it that day. There was a great banter going on with the Jordan boys and the Glasgow boys having a laugh. And then the next minute, the boy, I think him getting a doing, it was his own fault. He did cause a lot of trouble, but he didn't have to. And then I was in court for a year practically, as Jimmy Fivebelly's when he turned up, and then he would turn up, and then he gets his fine and he asks if he can pay his £500 a fiver a month, and he drives up in a 70 grand Range Rover and just like, you taking the piss.
But what age were you at this time?
Just turned 19. I would turn 19 the deck next day. So it was eventful, and Motor didn't play me the rest of the season that year, and that caught me. That was heartbreaking because we went on and beat Hearts in the Cup Final 5-1, and wanted to play in the Cup Finals. I played in the League Cup Final, but they wanted to play in the Scottish Cup Final as well, you know. So I never got the chance to play in the Scottish Cup Final, which was disappointing. But that's wrangles with me. Because then he does an interview with the paper and says, because Dunblane Massacre was the same week. And then he said to the newspaper, he came up to me and says, what about Dunblane? And I said, fuck, I'm like, but why would anybody even come up and say to you about that? It's the most horrendous thing in the world. So I had to do an article in the Sun. Never in my life would I speak about that incident, because it's obviously affected a lot of people in a horrible way. And it was definitely no... But he's come out and said that just to try and get yourself away from being a wee dick.
Listen, I'm not going to talk about it much, but I know the guy, I know his tattoos, and I think he must say about that. He's probably seen you in the pub and thought...
He came up to me and grabbed my beard, and my mates were wanting to kill him. And he's got a tattoo report and it says FTQ under it. And he goes, look at that, you wee beard, the orange bastard. And I'm like, get it. And then he punched Jimmy Fivebelly's up at the bar. And then that's when you get a bit of a doing. But that really wrangles me, that whole.
So did this happen about the March, did you say?
It was March, and I think we played Celtic St. Paddy's Day. And my birthday was an 18th, and we were doing there.
And you missed then a fair amount of the season and the business end of the season. Because
So that was number 8. That was 8.
And then that summer, get back to pre-season, everything get back to normal after that?
No particularly. I didn't cover myself in glory, definitely no. Went in the 6 weeks holiday, didn't you? And just think you're going to be as fit as you were when you finished. But we signed a few good players, obviously, and it's not easy always to retain your place. It's, like, so the guys like Coyste, Ian Ferguson, Goffey, maybe Bomber, Durante, Stuart the guys who were there for 7, 8, 9 years to keep on maintaining playing at that level or keeping guys out of the team, or that's something that's well ingrained. But I thought I could still do it, and when I played, I still done okay and things like that. And then number 9, we signed a lot of players, and then I played in the most important one. But 10 obviously was the big bad season.
9 would have been your second season, that, but right?
Third season.
Is that your third year? Seven. That was a couple of games.
No, I played full 7.
Did the full 7, did the full 8, and then 9 done itself.
I played 3 in 93. Played the 3 games in 93.
Incredible. And the 9 in a row team, I mean, the pressure, see, the start of that season, you've done, what, the 8 must have been, every week's a hard one, right? But seeing one that you were going for 9.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Was it more pressure? How did that...
Honestly, smart bringing the Rangers was we just always won. For 12-year-old, we always made sure we had to beat Celtic. That was the... If you finished on top of the league again, if you beat Celtic most of the times, you win the league. And when you beat Celtic at reserves, you usually win the league. It's all the way up. And similar with Aim, you know. So, well, as I say, Marine. But I was just, didn't know losing, if you know what I mean. I didn't know what it was like to be in a losing team. I thought I was going to win the league for the next 20 years. That's, I just thought, we'll win this league every year. So it was probably the older guys were feeling the pressure more, because he understood it more than me, and just a young daft boy for the motion, you know what I mean? So they probably felt the mere pressure.
But could you sense it in the changing room? Or, I know you didn't affect you, but could you sense it with other pros this we had to get 9?
I think it was the fans mere were just desperate for 9.
And then 9.
That's when I thought, yeah.
Is that all right? We get the 9, which I think it must be amazing that it doesn't matter how far in the future we go. See, when there's any video comes out, any wee snippet comes out of 9 in a row, there's the image of you running up the wing. Yeah. There's an image of you putting the ball in.
Running away from Andy McLaren.
Is that what was going on?
He used to run away from me and Cassmoke, so I had to run away from him at football.
I'm forgetting, he's played for...
He was playing United at the time, man.
And how close were you? I knew he was in the same close, place, still, but were you pals?
Of course. Still pal of this day. I was at a funeral home yesterday, unfortunately. Good man, good guy, good pal.
Just clean forgot you were playing against him, man.
I didn't play against him, but Jim McAnally for Cassmoke was playing as well. So a few Cashmere boys in the pitch, but we win. And Loudrup scored a wonderful header. It was a great night, a great achievement.
And see that cross. How many successful crosses did you hit your left foot before that?
Oh, a million. I was never that far up. It was only Loudrup was allowed to cross the ball at that. Liverpool must have been lazy that day and wanted just on the books. Wonderful football player, great header, and playing with likes of having Gascoigne's just surreal at times, you know.
And then the whole time you played with Loudrup, many headers did you see him score?
I didn't see him header the ball once in training either. Didn't he get a hair out of place? No joking. Elegant big man he was.
Aye, fantastic player. And see that the run up to that? I'm sure the Motherwell game, the game before it, was my call of the Monday.
Yep. I was involved in a car crash on a Sunday.
You what?
I was involved in a car crash on a Sunday and doing it at Strathclyde Park next to M&D's.
Yeah.
Just you end up in an embankment. And then I was late for training. I wasn't even in the squad on the Monday. We get beat 2-0. And as a football player, you want to be part of winning the big games. And you always want to play. And the Monday, I was wanting us to win, of course. But you just don't feel the same. You don't feel part of it if you're no, and even on the bench at least. You just don't feel part of it. And then because you get shocked. And the result. Murrayfield beat us 2-0, and then I played Water started on Wednesday night, and I thought I'm not going to miss this chance. But I had two great shots that night. That big Seed Dykstra had two under saves.
I think you'd know a bad night that night when you watch highlights. That game.
I played well that night. That was why that was a good performance game that night.
Well, my recollections of that was I was a fan, and I was married at the time. And when I tell you what happened, you probably realise I wasn't married for long after it. I went to a pre-9-0 party on a Sunday night.
Right.
And I said, I'll come back and we won the league. And I did.
Aye, so the Thursday.
It was the Thursday. but aye, it was, I think the whole world just expected us to go.
Yep.
Play Motherwell.
And it wasn't even on Sky or nothing. It was only on the radio on Wednesday night.
Oh, the Dundee United game, obviously.
Aye, the Monday game was on Sky and everything.
Yeah.
Because everybody expected us to win the league on Monday. And then the Wednesday night game wasn't even on television.
It's amazing how you forget things like that as a fan. But the Monday, I felt it was just like an anti-climax. I mean, everybody, the whole weekend was spent on it.
Done
it. All we need to do is turn up with Motherwell, and I take it you were playing, but you were at the game.
Aye, was it?
You remember much about it?
I remember Durante brought down, I can't remember who it was for a penalty, but Durante brought something in for a penalty. Non Coyle scored two goals. Remember that?
Were you in the changing room after the game?
No, I may have been, I can't remember, but it was just obviously the next thing you're focused on Wednesday, hoping you're starting. And then.
So, did you train on the Tuesday?
I would have trained the Tuesday because I wasn't playing on the Monday. The ones who played on the Monday would probably have had a light session and then would have been up at Tannadice that night as well, Tuesday night.
What was wrong with you that stopped you? Obviously, you had a car crash, but were you injured through the crash?
No, it was a hell. I was just an embankment and I was late for training and I was probably what we're thinking is an excuse. You can't be on the late and whatever. You weren't there on time, so. But you had to be there on time. And that was my fault, obviously, but I was in a car accident.
It shows you the standards of the man, though, because to win 9 in a row on the Monday, and to say, well, he was late on Sunday, then that was it. It didn't matter. The points of the game, the rules are the rules.
100%. I just wonder if it was Gaza, if he'd have stopped Gaza playing there. but.
Gaza was in regular embankment.
I
was going to ask you obviously you played with Gaza, right? And I take it he's probably the maddest person you've ever played with.
Oh, he's mad. He's nuts. Great man, great human being, love him. Heart of gold and a genius of a football player, so was Loudrup. Durante for me is as good as obviously what he came back for. I love Durante and still speak to him. And obviously doing a gig with him and him and Derek. In a couple of weeks' time, then a wee Q&A. So we're good to catch up and blow the froth off a few lagers with him.
So you spent a bit of time with Jimmy Fivebellies as well.
Yep.
Were they two just as daft as each other, or was there a win on that competition?
Gaza was just Gaza would give him £500 for everything he'd done, right? So Gaza would say, right, the snooker table. Put your knuckles at the end of the snooker table and let me fire boys off. So Jimmy would go, 4 and get £2,000 and like, and then go, right, magic. Right, £2,000. So Gaza gave him £2,000. Alex had been the air rifle one. Well, Jimmy, Gaza said, right, run with the air rifle. And Jimmy's running and Gaza's shooting him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, fucking pellets going into his ass. He's nuts, man.
Did he get £500 per pellet?
I think he just went for the £500. They were great guys, honestly. They were really good guys, and it was just unfortunate for has a wee situation with Cheryl that she never really took to up here and
caused them a few problems.
Yes.
Were you good pals with Jimmy?
Aye.
Did you have a night out with Jimmy without Gaza, or were they just a product?
No, we did, aye. Jimmy's a great lad and a lot of time for Jimmy. Love the bay for him, and they were good human beings.
And when's the last time you seen him?
Last time I seen Jimmy or Gaza or both.
They're both.
Well, I've not seen Jimmy for a wee while. Last time I seen Gaza a few years ago, I done a Q&A with him up at the Hilton. That's the last time I seen him.
I think he came into Ibrox that day. I seen him that day, the only time I've ever met him. And although I was working there that day and it was in the reception, I says, mate, I'm going to break protocol. He's like, what? I gave him a cuddle. He's like, that's Gaza. And that was what I was just wanting to stroke his hair. Do you know what I mean? He's just a legend.
Nah, he was a great guy. So Loudrup was unbelievable as well. Loudrup and Gaza, we sell Gaza with 8 games to go this season for 10. Loudrup wasn't as good a few years before. We can see a lot of people on the as good as a year before. Loudrup had signed for pre-contract with Chelsea. We brought in Marco, Sergio, Lorenzo. Lorenzo obviously struggling with, he done his Achilles. Rino was in. Great lad, Rino.
See the 10 in a row year, or what should have been 10 in a row year. Was it a hangover for 9, or was it just too many changes? Was it
maybe too many changes, maybe, because we were, Jonas Tern came in, who was a wonderful football player, but was struggling with injury. Marco, we were miles ahead of Celtic in the league. Marco gets hit in the eye with a squash ball, which absolutely killed us, because Coisty wasn't fit. Coisty, you need somebody, one of Marco or Coisty, to score your goals, you know.
I remember looking at stats in that year. I think Hearts were second at some point at Christmas. Marco Negri had scored more goals than Hearts.
33 it had by January, and then only scored like 3 more when they came back for his injury at the end of the season. So it was a total, definitely.
Could that have been defining?
That was definitely a big, if it had Coisty then it would have been fine, but Coisty was struggling with his calf as well. Coisty was an unbelievable finisher, as you know, and the greatest striker in Rangers history. If he'd wanted him to, probably would have still won the league.
So, then, when did you eventually leave Rangers?
I left. I played a year under Advocate, and then went to Watford.
And what was Advocate like with that change of personality, I'd imagine?
Advocate was actually all right. Advocate wasn't too bad, but he obviously fancied players better. And me and other players, he had brought in a lot of players and a lot of quality players, definitely. And like I said, Newman, Van Bronckhorst, Kanchelskis. Then he brings Barry in, Barry was incredible. But he brought in Neil McCann, who was done fantastic for us. But he didn't really fancy me. He wasn't a really big fan of Big George, but George played. Because obviously between Giovanni and George ended up playing a wee bit wider. We wanted to play inside one or whatever. But I played. I didn't really make a debut until. I didn't play for Advocate that season until maybe. I was on the bench. I was making good money. I'd signed a new contract under Advocate for 2 years. I was a squad player. And I knew that, understood that. But you want to play. And I asked him when I signed the contract, if there's injuries and I get in and I do okay, then I stay in. Is that the way it works? He goes, of course. Play, come on a bit off a bench in games, a lot of games. And then we played Stenhouse Muir, and I think it was the 26th of December, the Scottish Cup. And it was, I know one situation, you've not played, I've not played since August practically, I started a game. You win 2-0. Scottish Cup, you expected to win 8 or 10, but it was not a great performance for me, or a lot of us. And then we played Dundee the Wednesday night in the league. I think it was, we won 4-0 in the league at Dens Park, I scored 2. I got the man of the match. And then the Saturday we play Aberdeen, and I'm on the bench again, I'm going for a minute. So I was like, you want to play? I've been here a long time. I should really be kicking on now. I'm 24-year-old or whatever. I should be playing in this team, I think. It wasn't to be, and then I went to Leicester on loan. I got injured at Leicester, came back, and then went to Watford.
You went to Leicester to take it at the end of the season?
March, just before the end of March. But I never wanted to leave. But you need to play football. If you can just sit on the bench, a lot of people do, and make a good living, but I wanted to play. Down there, then he worked at Watford, came back to Dundee United, had 4 decent years at Dundee United, played all right. But the way we get told, me and McInnes, because McInnes played in this cup final, we had a treble that year. Me, Rod Wallace scored. So me, McInnes, as I said, I'd been there since 11, and I got a signed letter for Rangers, signed by Murray, David Murray, through my door, saying that I have to train with the kids. And I thought that was near a good way to...
And how long is this before you end up at Leicester on loan?
This was after that season. So I'd went to Leicester, came back up to Rangers, and then the start of the pre-season, before pre-season started, I got a letter through my door saying that I'm training with the kids. And I thought, the hell's this? So and then I came to Ibrox, I'm training with the kids, and then I'm on the marble staircase, and Advocate says, I see Advocate, he goes, hi, Charlie, and he goes, fuck off, you're baldy cunt. And he phones John Viola, and John Viola's like, well, why do you think he's upset? He says, if you tell him, see if he just said to me, Charlie, you're not part of my plans, and said it face-to-face. McInnes was worse. I was there longer than Derek, obviously, but McInnes played the game we won the treble and then got the same letter through the door. So the 2 years were devastated. Just a wee bit of honesty face-to-face, and then you go, right, okay, I understand that you don't fancy me. That's good. No problem. Then you move on. But it was just, I'd been there for 11 year old. I'd been there 12 years of my life. Half of my life, practically, at the time. And it was just so disappointing. But, hey-ho.
I take it, you know, it must be hard not playing when you want to play, especially as you're getting on. You're not the boy anymore. You're not the kid. And you seem to appreciate that there was a decent squad there. You know what I mean?
That was very, very strong team.
Aye. You've went out on loan. Didn't work out. You had an injury, get that. Came back, you must have been thinking, right, I'm going to get in here and I'm going to get stuck in, get a good pre-season, get a right good goal, try and show them that I should be starting, and that letter lands before pre-season season started.
Yeah. So that was hard. That was hard to accept, but he could have handled it better, I think. He could have just, as I say, told me and Derek, that would have been fine. Then, I mean, disappointed, obviously, because we want to stay with a place you love the best, you know. And
so, I take it you're away quite soon after that.
I didn't leave to September.
So that would have been more about July time?
Probably about July, just before the before pre-season started.
And did you have any contact with the first team? You training with them at all now?
No, nothing. So
what were you doing?
Just playing reserve games. Just trying to get away. So it was hard. It was a difficult time, but it's the way football clubs, well, some football managers treat players, and it's not all Rosie.
it's a tough gig. It's a tough business.
As a football player, you've got to be selfish because everybody else wants your position, and you want everybody else. Well, you want certain positions yourself, and that's what I realised when I was 16. When I said I went early, remember I went into I realised that I have to be worried about me. Okay, if pals and that, but you can't be unhappy if your pals not playing. If you're playing, you just want to play for yourself, you know.
And see, they've got to stay back maybe 6 months or so. How did the Leicester thing come about? Was that you that asked? Was that the club?
No, it was Jim Melrose. Used to play with Celtic. Big Rangers man, Jim Melrose. He was a scout at Leicester. I got done on loan. And then, to be fair, Leicester, decent players as well. We Muzzy Izzet and Lennon was there. And it was a good group of guys. And Martin O'Neill stuck with a group of guys that he knew. And you could... I probably didn't really work out, but I played against Newcastle and I got injured, and then that was me for the rest of the season. Well, I played 3 games.
And was it a loan with a view to maybe getting them?
Aye, it was a little bit. I could feel it wasn't going to happen. Because he had these players, Martin O'Neill, he's always a good manager, and he had players that he liked, and that was it. I wish Walter was there, or I wish Walter was the manager at Rangers at the time, but or whatever, then it might have been different. But obviously, things changed.
You've came back, getting a letter, pre-season's away with the Wains and the Resies, and then you eventually get your move in September. So how did that come about? Did you have a choice?
I ended up going down I played a trial game for Watford against Charlton, and Watford won the Premier League, Charlton won the First Division, and then I signed after the game. Agreed a fee. I could have waited to January. And I think Rangers get 450, 500 grand or something. back, because I signed a pre-contract in January. And I'm only guy that goes to English Premier League and get less money than I was at Rangers, probably.
Seriously?
I end up on less money than there and I was at Rangers, which is baffles me still.
Who was at Watford at the time?
Graham Taylor.
And how did that go? As a guy, as a coach, I mean, he's actually 110 jobs.
What's he like? It was a nice guy. I didn't like the way he fit, though. It was the 1 o'clock gun he played. But he brought a team. I didn't really think about it when I was just went away at that point, because 3-4 months just sitting about playing with the kids and that, you want to go and play. And it wasn't the team for me, but he brought this team for the third division to the Premier League. So they were a tight-knit bunch of boys. They were great lads. I got on well with them, and Neil Cox came in and signed. And we'd signed the boy, his little big Mark Williams, the boy Norden Vurfajax. He was in Spain playing. But we had a meeting one day, and Taylor comes in and he says, can the boys who were here last year stay in the room, and the ones I've just signed, can you go? And you knew right away there was a barrier there right away.
How long were you there when this happens?
A couple of months, and you're like, bloody hell. But we used to train in the morning of a game. So we used to be in at 9 o'clock, day a training session, warming up, day a bit of running and whatever. Then we would be finished for, to say, 11:30, get showered, then go to the hotel for lunch, and then go back and play a game at 3 o'clock. It's madness. They were crazy.
And when you signed for them, how long did you sign for?
I think I signed 3-4 year deal. And I lasted a year, and then I was back at Dundee United.
The Dundee United move, again, who was there at the time? How did that
Alex Smith. John Vuel phoned me. I was half pissed in the house, and I forgot about it. Nearly missed my flight. Ended up at Tannadice on the Thursday. Signed on the Thursday of the Friday. Thursday, Friday, and then played on the Saturday. We played Motherwell, lost 2-1. But Dundee United, like 2 points or something. And this was November. Remember, it was November the 5th I played against Motherwell. And we were struggling. And then brought in a couple of good players in January. And then ended up with about 36 points and just avoided relegation. But for having 2 points in November, the 36, 38 points at the end of the season wasn't too bad, you know?
Aye. They've been a half season league winners, aren't you?
Well, we would have been in the top four probably. Anyway.
And how did Dundee United go? You were there?
Most of the year. I enjoyed Dundee United, although I didn't enjoy what I'd done to Rangers. Because Eddie Thompson, when they've done that, but Stephen Thompson, his son done it. Eddie Thompson was a good chairman. But Andy McLaren, it was funny, Andy McLaren signs for Dundee United. This is hilarious. So I'm saying to Andy, I said, you must still have an 8-year option here or something for when you left the last time. So Andy comes up, signs his contract. He's doing his stem, you're sitting in the changing room, and Ian McCall was the manager at the time. He's called a meeting and he says, can everybody refer their appearance money at the end of the season? And Andy McLaren's like, I've just signed a contract. I'm not joking you. As soon as he came down, that's what happened. And to be fair, we got over. Appearance money and win bonuses at the end of the season, which was actually a decent way to get your money. But for Andy, his face strapped. It was quite funny. That was
his career crossed a lot of times then with Andy McLaren.
I only played with Andy at Dundee United, but obviously played against him and things like that. But I was at Watford when Andy was at Reading. Andy was the first player to get done for the, and it was a shame to see him.
Was it Gavin?
I seen him, I was there, I had to go and see him because John Vuel was his agent as well, and I was a pal and I felt terrible for him. It was a shame. Great lad, but he's amazing now and he's all good.
I have been fortunate, I bumped into him a couple of times obviously connection with kids football and stuff. He seemed like just a solid nice guy, doing the right stuff. Seeing you at Dundee United, how did you end up being there? Was it 5 years?
4 years.
Instead of 5 seasons.
I signed 2000, November 2000, and left maybe June 2004. So three and a half seasons.
And what did you do to get booed at Ibrox? I just remember.
Fernando tackled me. Fernando topped me. Poor Fernando. I love him. It was a shame. Terrible illness for him. But Fernando topped me. And that everybody thought I was kidding on. bloody big scar down my shin.
Did he get sent off?
He got sent off.
It makes sense now.
Aye.
So, this first time you're playing against Rangers?
That was hard. That was difficult. We actually done okay against Rangers. We beat Rangers a couple of times. Because Rangers, Celtic had Martin O'Neill as a manager then. They were strong, big, strong team, physical. Rangers had a lot of good players on the ball. Not as physical as Celtic team. Beat Rangers at Ibrox 2-0. We beat Rangers in the Scottish Cup at Tannadice as well, 1-0. So we've done okay. We've also got a couple of hidings as well, don't we? but we actually tend to do okay against Rangers. So we beat them 2-0 at Tannadice as well.
That first time you're getting stripped, I imagine, walking into Ibrox and turning left as opposed to turning right into the whole changing room.
That was difficult. Aye, 100%. 100%. That was strange. Especially, that was like being back. An advocate sent me a letter again, getting their away changing.
Of course, that's where the reserves and unders would have been.
But I had to go and play. That was it. You just go and play, and then I had my time there, and you have to move on.
And Dundee United, good memories for you?
Aye, I stayed. I loved Broughty Ferry, lovely place. But I end up, after 4 years, I kind of just had enough of Scottish football. I wanted to go and try something different. And that's when I ended up in Norway, Robbie Winters, who played in Norway. I knew wee Robbie, and I thought, why not try it? And I two years out there, it was amazing.
How did these things come about, Charlie? I mean,
just my John Viola phoned wee Robbie Winters, and then they were looking for players. They play in Norway, it's a difficult, like, very physical, and there's fit boys. So, but they play for March to November, I think. So it's like a kind of summer, because obviously the weather's worse than here. But it was a great lifestyle. It was a lovely, lovely place to live.
You've done 2 years there.
2 years there.
And it's great. Training, the philosophy.
We trained a lot. We did train a lot. It was sometimes Sunday night at 6 o'clock, running up mountains, just robots. But great, as I say, they were great lads. And I got on well with the boys at Bran. They were great.
Being out there, kids football, the culture out there is a totally different thing. So how did this boy from Castlemilk settle into the Norwegian lifestyle?
Aye, well, fine. Obviously, it helps with wee Robbie being there. And Carl Gundervite, who spoke, to be fair, they all speak English, which is good. So I settled in well. It was tough to get in the team at the first, to get fitter, and they played properly for a couple of months. Obviously, pre-season. It was they were halfway through their season.
Of course, you joined at the end of your season. Aye,
I joined late July, maybe something like that. So I'd been half for 5 weeks. But as I went there, I knew it was going to be a bit of a culture shock, but it was great. And my family and all that would come here, and they loved it, and they looked after us. They were amazing people.
Aye, I mean, scenery of the place. It's, I've been to Scandinavia a few times. Even when you go up and you smell the air, it just seems different.
That's very, very beautiful part of the world.
And did you enjoy your time there? Forgetting the football, but actually living
there? I
did
enjoy my time. I met a lot of people away for the football who were great as well. No, loads of people, but where we stayed. And my day off was always the day before the game.
So you're in after the game?
And after the game, done like an hour run. After the game, it was so bizarre.
You enjoying your day as off? Did you have the same culture what you done in days off over there?
Days off there, I was actually swimming. My brother would come here and family would come here. But nearly every Saturday, me and Robbie would take the kids to swimming the day before a game, because there was nothing else really to do.
I think you told me before when we were talking about this. Was that one of the sort of times where you were your fittest through your career?
Aye. I was, when after 2 years, I was fit. Fitter again, and I was enjoying my football, and the fans were amazing to me here in Bergen. They were great. They took to me, and then I get punked, didn't I? I get punked.
That's a video for the talkers. I've seen it. It's great. Aye, what happened?
Oh, I used to do a lot of mad things to the players, and then they decided to get me back one day, and I was in the gym, which I didn't really like being in, but I was in the gym. And then the kit man comes down and says, Charlie, they're taking your motorway up the stair. I'm like, top, they're taking my motorway. So I got up, and then there's a journalist there. There's these guys for the FBI, supposedly. I'm like, there's a guy handcuffed next to the police motor. I'm going, what the hell's happening here? And the guy's like, ah, whose motor's this? I says, it's mine. I said, my name's on the side there, sir, and whatever. And next minute, this motor, they said, sorry, to open the back of my motor and pull out a ski mask and a knife about that size. And I'm like, was I really drunk last night? I couldn't remember. I'm like, what the hell's happened here? And I said, no, my wife had the motor. I was just back from Spain. And I flung her under the bus.
Grass, eh?
Aye. And then there's a boy, as I say, handcuffed at him. And then this black motor comes down, the guy with a ski mask. And I'm like, oh, my pants joined the brownies. I'm going, what's happening here? And the guy is handcuffed, runs and jumps into the motor and shouts, Charlie, tell him nothing, and the motor speeds away. And I'm like, what the fuck's happening here? I'm like, this can't be true. So the boys had done me, they got the Oscar and all that out, they came out, and then it was a good laugh.
On you like a kipper, it was decent.
Mm-hmm.
And where did you go after that?
I went to Belgium. The manager of the Belgian team I went to, he was also a manager in Norway. So, Chateau Rekdal, I liked him, going well with him. And
so, had he been your manager in Norway?
No.
Just another team?
Another team. He was a manager of Vålerenga, and he was a manager of Lears. And then I went air there and I signed. And then, something like Andy McLaren, after I signed, they go, I've no money. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I've just signed. There was a few dodgy things happening in Belgium with the Chinese and the gambling and all that things. And then I said, I just want my money. Just want my wages. And then next minute, I've got a brown bag with my wages in it. I'm going, what the hell's happening here? I've got my money. So I ended up there for about a year and a half. And they put me in a hotel right across the road for the pub. It must have been
about handy.
20 metres it must have been. I'm not joking. You end up really close with a guy in the pub. He was an Anderlecht fan. Lovely. His wife and that. And they were all great people. The hotel I was in was beautiful. But, and I signed another year. I end up moving in with my wee Belgian, my wee Chris, and her husband, Jeff. Unfortunately, he's passed away, Jeff. Great, great family. Lovely people. And I had a year there then. Ian Ferguson. Belgium was a good place, but a few changes in at the time in Belgium, and I was gone for, they changed they didn't tell me, so my tax bracket was 18% because I was a foreigner, and they didn't tell me. It changed for 18% to 50%, and I didn't know, and I'm like, no danger. So that was like 32% of my wages was away, so I was like, oh, no chance, man.
Aye. Without going down your personal finances, I would imagine you're probably not in the same set of dough you're at Rangers a few years before.
Oh, so definitely not.
That's a fair chunk of your money and a big number.
No. And plus the euro was bloody, I wish the euro was like it is now. I think it was like 75 pence to the pound you got then. And it's like 98 pence now.
That's pound for pound now, isn't it?
Aye. So sums me up.
How did you find Belgium as a league to play in, as a culture, as a place to live?
Good place. Great country, they were. Lovely beer. I got on well with them. I got on well. I got on well with most people, to be honest with you. And settled in well. Enjoyed it there. But then the tax thing came in. And I thought, no, I can't do that. And then that's when Ian Ferguson phoned me.
So you've done what, a year and a half, did you say?
A year and a half in Belgium. And lovely people. And I enjoyed myself there.
So you see, when you're in Norway, you were there for 2 years. Was it a 2-year contract you had, or?
No, I still had another year left.
And
it was just time to go.
Was it?
Aye.
So you're in, done your year and a bit in Belgium, they change the tax code on you halfway through your time there. And then you end up, is Fergie the manager at that time?
No, Ian Ferguson was assistant manager at Central Coast. And I agreed a contract with Fergie on the phone. I was just getting ready to kind of wait for the flights to come. And then Big Oz phones me the next day and I said to Oz, Craig Moore, I've already agreed to sign with Central Coast. And then Fergie phones me the next day and says, Charlie, they want to give you half of the contract. We agreed. And I says, well, bugger that. Big Oz is on the phone for me. And then signed for Brisbane. It's the best thing, one of the best things I've ever done. I end up, obviously, Fabs Pally with Fergie, I love him a bit. But take my family to Australia, and Craig Moore, who's one of my best pals, we broke through together. I kind of took him under my wing when he came here for Scotland. My wife and his wife are really close. So made perfect sense. And we stayed in Gold Coast, in the most beautiful place in the world, and it was amazing.
And forgetting that, you think, you're going by Oz, he came here, Rangers, as a young
16. Man. 16 he came.
And he came through that, was it Australian Sports Institute or yep. something? And that seems like an incredible...
Yep.
And any sport they've got, they seem to have it trussed out there, the amount yep. of people.
Institute of Sport.
Right. Players that they've got now. So when did you first get Pally then?
When we were 15 or 16, 15, because big
lot. The same age?
Aye, aye. Well, Oz will be 48 in December, and I'm 48 in March. So we played for a long time ago, you know.
And I take it now he's retired. He's in Castlemilk.
And no, he's back living here, isn't he?
I heard that.
Because he's doing an agent. He does agent work and things like that. And so he seems to be doing well. He's working hard at it. So
you get the Oz and you're staying out in the Gold Coast. Total different.
Way of life.
Totally different, I take it.
Winter's 25 degrees, 26 degrees. Summer's 40 degrees. Beautiful. Sometimes a bit too hot, but it was a great way of life. And Frank Farina was a great manager. I loved him to bits. And I got on well with all the boys. We settled in. Perfectly.
And your whole family went out?
Aye, I'm all, me and my family and the kids.
We were living in a nice big house at the time.
Nice lovely house, just across with Craig. So
you and Craig Moore are neighbours?
Aye, so he was across the road for us. We were neighbours in Bovell, right next door to each other. And then we end up staying across the road for each other. In the latter part of
the world.
Aye, latter part of our life.
What age you at the time?
Must have been about, what, 33? 33?
You're thinking I'll do a few years out here and nice lifestyle.
Days, aye.
What was the football like?
Football was okay. It was not okay. It was decent. It was probably out with Rangers Celtic. It was similar to the rest of the Scottish Premier League.
So, if you were tearing them, if you've been to Norway now, you've been to Belgium, you've been to Australia, how would you sort of rate them as quality of football to play at?
Well, Norway were physical. Norway was a physical league, big boys, athletic. Technically, some of them were very good, of course. Belgium, technically very good football players. My debut for Lears when I went to Belgium, I played Standard Liège. We lost 3-2. Standard Liège, the manager was Proudhon, who used to be the number one goalkeeper for Belgium. And then the players they had were Stephen Dufour went to Porto, Axel Witsel, aye. Is it Dortmund? I think he's at Dortmund now. They went to a few massive clubs. Fellaini, Jovanovic.
This is your debut?
This is my debut. This is a team, all young ones coming through. Bocani, the big striker. Jovanovic, who signed for Liverpool, I think I said that. Dante, who ended up at Bayern Munich. So they were a strong team. They won the league that year. They were a strong team.
I was thinking back, which sort of year would that have been? You're in Belgium, it's the season and a half.
2068.
And that's maybe. When that whole crop starting to come through. Yep. The Belgian football's really on the up at the time.
Yep, it was.
And I've ended up supplying half the big teams in the world not so long after it. And could you see that? I mean, was it technically different? Was it training, the coaching different?
Well, you train twice a day in Belgium. I train twice a day in Norway as well, to be fair. It could be long days. So I end up just playing cards, having lunch and then waiting for training. Bit monotonous at times, but it's a way to date in Europe, so you have to go and abide by their rules. You're in their countries, so. But Australia was great, because we used to, me, Craig, old Malcolm ended up coming there as well. And then Danny Teato played with Leicester and Leeds, great lads. So us four stayed in the Gold Coast together. So we'd travel up every day, we get up at 5:30, start training at 7:30, finish for 9:30. And then the rest of the day was for ourselves. And we're like, what we got a day? Just drive back down the road. 11 o'clock, we get down the road about, go for lunch, have a pint, a wee bet. And the next minute, we know we're half pitched. they were great days. It was a great time in Australia.
How was the football for you?
Football was good. I had done well. I got foreign player of the year. I've got player of the year if I get injured after about, I had to get a double hernia operation, and that kept me out for a bit, maybe 8 weeks or something. because remember they only played about, I think it was like 20 league games or something, and then they went to the playoffs, the way they did the playoff system. So scored a few great goals, and I scored, I think it was four or five games in my first four or five games. It was five, can't remember. I scored in every game. So it helps you settle in as well, you know what I mean? My first game in Australia was at Wellington, which is like Glasgow's weather. And it's a 5-hour flight for, I've just came a month earlier or 6 weeks earlier for Glasgow. And then I'm flying to Wellington, don't we? It was a lovely part of the world, New Zealand, but went, made my debut there, scored my debut, drew one each, but it was pissing the rain for the whole 2 days we were there. And then you have to go through the quarantine and all that, your boots and everything, because different countries, things like that, they have to check all the muck off your boots, you have to make sure they're all... But it was a really good time. It was
Australians get some of the hardest... trying to get into the country.
Aye, border laws.
Some of the stuff, border police TV stuff and all that. And somebody trying to get in with a Mars bar, mm-hmm. No, and they're throwing them up against the wall. Your boots.
Aye, because of the grass, the dirt on them.
What's that, a grass?
I don't know. But wasn't they settling all that kind of grass? maybe a few years earlier.
so see when you head out there, again, what sort of contract are you signing to when you go to Australia?
I signed a 2-year deal, and then Frank Farina, who was my manager, he'd been the manager of Australia. I played under Walter Smith, Scotland manager, Rangers manager, Martin O'Neill, Leicester Celtic manager. I didn't play for long, but just a short time. Yeah. But then he was the Northern Ireland, the Republic Island manager. Yeah. Then played with Graham Taylor. Who was England manager at one point. Then Alex Smith with Dun United. Great manager at Aberdeen. Yep. And won Scottish Cup with St Mirren. So great pedigree. Old Alex. He was a lovely man. Alex Smith loved him. And then Frank Farina was the manager of Australia at one point. And then with a short time with Postecoglou at Big Ange in Brisbane. Because Frank Farina was my manager. Get done for the league were kind of funding the team at this moment because they were struggling for money at the club, and they were kind of wanting Frank out for some reason. They wanted to bring Ange in, and then I'd never heard the Ange, but never really knew him. And then he fell out with Craig his kind of first couple of days, and then that was it. I was like, I worked my ticket. Didn't you fancy Bobby, the goalkeeper Danny Teato? So I kind of worked my ticket to Gold Coast. But I wish I'd kind of stayed. Obviously, I was supporting my pals and that, because Andrew went on and won 2 league titles with Brisbane, and we were so close as a team.
And how long did you work away?
About 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
Is that
right? And then Navovsky, and then.
So, what was the problem having Craig Moore? Did they have a bit of history together?
No, they're going great now. They're quite close now, because obviously Craig worked with the FA when Andrew's a manager of Australia, and Andrew's the way he plays football. He gets his teams playing. He knows how to get them set out. And I wish I'd given him the chance. I wish I'd stayed, and might have worked out a bit better for me. But you have to stick up for your mates.
And something just to take you back to going to Australia in the first place. I mean, a massive move.
Oh, aye.
Immigrating is for anybody, but going to that extent on the other side of the world. See, when you take a move like that on, are you thinking, well, I've signed a 2-year contract, I'll probably just get 2 years, or are you thinking, do you know what, I could get here and just stay here? Where's your head when you got there initially?
I didn't think it really in there. I just thought I could get it. Craig's here, get him play football, enjoy the sun, hopefully have a good time with the football, enjoy it and see how it goes. And I thought for my kids it was good for them because they were at a decent age.
But at school at the time?
Aye, the two of them were at school. Jordan was maybe about 8. He was born in 98 and we went out there in 2008. So he was just turning 10. My daughter was maybe 13, 14. So it was a good place for them to go outdoors. My daughter she liked outdoors and things and that as well. And I thought, let's eat, put shrimp in the barbie. You know what I mean?
And did they have a good time? So were you out there 3 years in total?
2 years.
Just 2 years. And the kids, how did they enjoy?
I enjoyed it, but I think my drinking had taken its toll on me, and they'd buggered off him early.
I didn't know that.
So, no, but they, I think they enjoyed it. Jordan, my son, he was playing every day, you know what I mean? You're always out playing. The great outdoors, and next you're doing it at the beach, 10, 15 minutes for the house, scorching, barbecues. It was like a way of life, I'll tell you.
So Big Ange comes in. Days later, your mate's away.
Yeah, Craig ended up going to Kavala in Greece because he's what he got still play for the national team. And who was the manager of the national team? I can't remember who it was. It was Graham Arnold, I can't remember. No, it might have been the Dutch guy, Bert van Marwijk or something. But Craig was wanting to go to the World Cup in 2010. So Craig thought he had to play in Europe to get into that squad, if you know what I mean. So Craig was kind of, and then he fell out with Ange right away, and then bang. So
you're there for 3 weeks. What happened to you and him? Was it just
nothing? Purely... I was just my pal. That's Craig Moore, Danny Teato, Bob Malcolm were my pals. And so Rocket, the goalkeeper, who's called Rocket, didn't take to him or whatever, I don't know what it was. But he proved right, because he ended up winning, I think, the next year or the year after, he won two leagues in a row. So he knew what he was doing, you know.
So what happens to Charlie Miller and after 3 weeks? Where did
I go to Gold Coast, and then after the Gold Coast, I just went back home because the family had already went home.
Who was there? Who was at Gold Coast for you?
You'll not know any of the boys there.
Did you have a connection with any of them through your time? Or
just
that
a big, big goalie, big gigs played in Scotland. He was the goalie for Gold Coast. And he stayed next to me in that as well. And he's like, come down here. And the manager was a bit, Miron Blyberg was a strange character. But
where was he from?
He's from Australia, but I don't know if he's Jewish or whatever he was. But I end up just staying there because it was only 15 minutes from my house. Craig wasn't at Brisbane, Danny wasn't at Brisbane. Although the boys, I got on well with a lot of other boys. There were a lot of young boys coming through, good players. Me, Matt McKay, was my roommate. Ended up at Rangers, me, Matt.
Oh, aye.
Great lad.
You must have been quite young at the time then, was
he? Oh, Matt was maybe about 8 years younger than me or something, probably. Great lad, and They were good boys and end up doing well. But we'd done well. We were close for winning the league a few times, and then Frank got the bump, and that was kind of the end there.
You fell off it at that point. And then you're deciding I'm coming home. And where did you go when you first came
out? I played four games for Clyde and then just chucked up.
I think I was at one of
them. Yeah, I was at that.
My boy beat Ben. He was playing with Queen's Park at the time.
That's right,
yeah. They were in at Lesser. They had a game on a Saturday at Lesser in the first team run. They gave the kids free tickets and the parents would pick up.
That was my last ever game, professional football.
Was it?
I think so.
Wow.
4-0. We lost and I thought never again.
I remember thinking that would be your last game at Hampden. Well enough, but you was the last game.
I think I just had enough that.
Two things I remember about that day. Well, three.
We had a terrible purple strip on.
It was like a purple strip with black shorts and like bright red socks or something.
I looked like Barney the dinosaur.
I'll not argue with that. Second thing I remember was Ben asking what position you played.
Aye, and it was a very central.
Very central, right? You left the circle. I says Ben, see when they're attacking. He's playing in defence and they're defending, he's playing attacker.
So I'd been back maybe a few months. And because Big Kenny Brannigan, I was training with Cooney South just to try and keep fit, try and hopefully get something somewhere. And then Big Kenny Brannigan can ask me to sign to the end of the season. I said, aye. And then the big man, Slad Charlie, phoned me back the next day. Big Kenny's great. Phoned me back the next day and says, Charlie, we can't sign you because that'll be one person in the stand getting paid. The club can't afford it. So one person in the stand getting paid, no playing. So the club just can't afford it. I said, no worries. But after that, I hadn't played or trained. And then Jim Duffy asked me to come in and play a few games, but that was plenty.
Did you keep your shirt for your final game?
No. I can't find any of my shirts. I bloody lost them.
I threw that one in the bin and they were out the door. It was absolutely baffling.
It was horrible. It's horrible.
And then, so you've been playing football for how long at this point? from, well, playing for
forever,
but you've been in at Rangers for years, a nine on the books.
About, oh, right, for a full time, you thought about
15, aye, right up to what age were you?
34.
So, this is the thing that intrigues me. Football's been your life almost every day for that period. Football's been your involvement, yeah, your training, becomes, and the rest.
Comes a big shock.
And then just one day, you're meant to turn the tap off, no play at football. So what do you do next? What do you do the next day?
That's the thing. I was beginning to get worried because you need to still earn a living, you know what I mean? And I was helping Andy McLaren with getting the kids off the street. And then the A&M training was great, great idea. Then I just one day, me and a couple of other coaches and that just decided I don't just start up Urane Academy, and then that was it. Been gone for 12 years now.
Not off to you, I mean, obviously, you're the guest, not me, so I know you're talking about my story, but we know each other obviously through a lot of stuff with the kids' football. And it's that can be a real double edged sword. That can be really one of the most fulfilling things that you do, but also one of the most painful when you just hear some nonsense that people want to talk, they're not happy about this. It can create a strange
It's difficult because you want the best for the kids. You want every kid to be a superstar. But not every kid's got to be a superstar, unfortunately. And then obviously some parents aren't happy with this, some parents aren't happy with that. And it's difficult. Parents want their kids to be superstars. But so do we. We want them all to be professional football players. And you just try your best for them. But obviously, some of the things you hear outside the pitches is madness at times. But sweet. I've been cited, actually, referee.
During the game?
For the game, the Sunday there, honestly.
I got sent off a month ago. You know, I got sent off for. The referee was happy with John Stevenson at the sideline and me, Johnny. And he was like, so he's only to stop you questioning an offside, right? And he came in like, I get one more word to any. I'm going to pull the cards out, right? And I actually went like that. Fair enough, to be fair. I went, ref, but I'm sorry. I told you, name your words.
Honestly.
Sent me off, right? And I went, just walk away. So I walked away in the car park, and the wee coach went up to him after it. He went, you actually sent him off for apologising, ref? You aware of that? He says, aye, but I thought he was kidding me on. Right?
And you can read minds now as well.
Read minds, aye. And to be fair, though, and I try to say this to the coaches, see the guys that paid £1,500 a game in the Premier League, they need VAR to tell them when they're wrong, and sometimes still get it wrong. The ones we've got sometimes are kids and they're £40. It doesn't work that you don't have got to make mistakes to try and 100%.
Yeah, and getting sent off. No, I know, and I was just trying to speak to the wee guy as well, and he was trying to ignore me, and that was annoying me. So, but hey ho. But I love it. I love doing the football.
I think the same as myself. There are some bad things waiting a pain in the arse now and again, but the positives and the benefit, you know, the joy it gives you.
See the kids enjoying their football and running about and smiles on their faces. You know yourself, it's great just to see kids having fun,
aye,
playing the game we all love.
No, and hat off to you. I mean, if it wasn't for folk going and, you know, taking the 2 and 3 nights a week and going on Saturdays and the Sunday mornings, and kids when they play football, and, you know, I'm not bored the folk that are watching this, but you and I have spoken about for a long time about how grassroots football doesn't get help.
No, it doesn't get any help, but the thing is, every guy who takes kids football, they're doing it because they love football and they want to help the kids. Every team for Air Scotland who do it, your hat's off to them. Some of them, they're amazing, you know. And people think it's easier, but it's no, it's very difficult. And hats off to everybody who gets involved.
So, your career, just to sort of finish off a few finishing questions, pick a high, pick a low.
Make my debut and win 9 in a row. That was two big highs. And then getting a letter through my door was the low. But that's the way the job is splatters.
Aye, it's going to be a tough one, that. And something they didn't touch on, a lot of people can't believe Charlie Miller get one international cap.
Was it Dun United?
Yeah, won it. Aye, that's another mad thing. It took you. I mean, where did you think you played your best football?
Well, my first 2 years at Rangers. But the thing is, when I was playing at Rangers, I was 18, 19, so I'm still eligible for under-21s. And Scotland national squad had Gary McAllister's, Paul McStays, Ian Durant, Stuart McCalls. Oh, very, very good football players, and there's more than that. So they were obviously thinking he'll get his time, but it didn't really come, unfortunately.
So you're at Dundee United. What age would have been then? About 25, 26 when you got the call?
25, I think, 25.
And that game you played, your one cap, was there about eight people on the same boat?
Aye, seven, because I think it's our biggest epidemic in the world. Nobody wanted to go to Poland and Scotland.
Was that a wee game?
It was in Poland, aye. We drew one each and did okay.
There was another boy for Castle Milk there that day.
Andy McLaren.
And was that his one and only cap as
well? And then B. Kenny Muller played. Went on today, obviously, very well for Scotland. Stephen Caldwell, I think. Me, Barry Nicholson, Stevie Crawford, John O'Neill. I think that was all the ones making their debuts. Kind of.
Who was the manager?
Craig Brown. Natshaun Knox was assistant. Strange having Natshaun Knox as the assistant. Strange.
Why?
Because I never thought Archie would ever have worked with Scotland. Unless it was with Walter, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I loved Archie. He was a madman. I still speak to him. He's wanted to come down and get some drills for us doing at training, and he's got a bit of time.
Come down with the Wains?
Aye.
Ah, oh, brilliant, love that.
Down. So he's phoned me a couple of weeks ago, and he's waiting, when he's got a bit of time, he's got to come down.
Outstanding. And see, when you do this, you're fortunate as well, you can get some guys to come down and do that for you. Do you think kids actually appreciate what's in front of them, when the, you know, these 10 and 11-year-old kids are getting coached with these legends?
And they probably don't even realise it's the parents, obviously, who know them. It's different if it's an up-to-date player who they can watch you now. Because we, like yourself, the guys come down that are amazing. Big Marvin, Alec Ray have come down. Gidoot Meadows, Simon Donnelly's come down for me. Gordon Jury, Coyste, Durante, being natural, and that's come down. We had at the camps, Mark Wilson, yeah. Callum McGregor, Scott Brown come down. So I appreciate all this, you know, it's because
I think amazing. I think sometimes the kids will be 10 years before they actually get to see the photo, you think, mm-hmm. Oh, God, I was there with that guy that was the Rangers, nine in a row, assistant manager and stuff like that.
Yeah.
One of the funny stories with us, Mikey Moles came one night and it was terrible weather, so we went inside, we just done like a wee Q&A, and one of the first kids, I ask a question, he says, are you any good? Do you know what I mean? It's Mikey
that's
Moles,
kids.
Son.
No,
and the parents were all like, and all, they were all, and it's probably going to be 10 years' time before 100%. These kids can appreciate who Mikey Moles was, and you tell him to go away and watch your videos.
Mm-hmm.
So highs were pretty numerous, I take it. You got to live the dream. I mean, every kid that you were running about Castle Milk with a ball, every one of you is dreaming of being a football player when you
100%.
You were a kid. So you got to live the dream. You some remarkable experiences, some remarkable players
never
you played
change
with.
It.
Who's the best?
Guys I know that were ridiculous. They were, but Durante, just for what he came back for, and I think it's because he's a Glasgow boy, obviously like myself, and I love Durante. What a football player he was. But obviously, guys I know that were phenomenal. So was Coyste, Big Mark Haitley. My first year, it was great playing with Big Mark. Helped me so much, and it was just amazing to play with him. And then obviously Goffey and the goalie. Some amazing. Stuart McCall was amazing for me as well, playing in the centre of the park. And then a big pal, Craig Moore, Alan McLaren, what a footer player. Gordy Petrich, some great guys. We had a great change room, Juki, who I'm going up to Wickway on Friday. Gordon Jury, great guy. So we're very fortunate.
You played with some absolute crackers when you start rhyming them off. And players that you played against, who was the one that you just thought, oh, here, he's a break?
Andy Muller was very good, the German international. Andy Muller was some player. To be fair, that Dortmund team was some team. I think they went on to win a European Cup and the year after they played us.
They it was like frozen.
Yeah, there. I set the field up for the goal that day. We drew to each other there, but we drew to each other Ibrox as well against them. And then the following year, I'm sure they won the European Cup the following year.
They did some decent teams through the years. And that Muller, he was a professional.
Muller, Sammer. Julio Cesar, Karl-Heinz Riedler, all played.
Was he just a pure pest?
No, he was a quality player. Quality.
So I need to thank you for something apart from coming on this podcast. You let me score my only goal ever at Ibrox.
Aye.
The penalty.
Is that a penalty?
Aye,
you were never getting me that anyway.
Well, the funny thing was, you've went one way and I'm like, just cut it back. I've got a great run. It's 4-4-2 and we've fought forward, Muller and Houston.
Was it not a penalty?
Aye. But you've went running that way and I'm like, see if you just play it back, we reverse pass, I've got a clear shot here. And the boys upended you.
Right.
And before you've even landed, I've got the ball on the penalty spot.
You took the ball at your juke.
I put it back up. So I got you to live a dreamer one day and played at Ibrox and the goal. And these games were, I was talking to somebody about it just the other night as well. You can see in these games that why some players were professional football players. Because even at that, they're will to win. I mean, Alex played that game and he's kicking folk and paid £250 to play it.
I know, he's Alex, just ridiculous.
But you see, it's a desire. And is that the difference between you? And we all played the kids at school that you went, Christ, he was some player, but they never made it as a professional. Is that the difference?
I think it's just the will to win. The will to get there, you have to. Obviously, I was fortunate to get there because there's a lot of hurdles you can go and I had good guidance for good people. And it's how much you want to get there. It really is. If you've got the ability, how much you want to, especially nowadays, even a good attitude, the kids get a great chance. Definitely.
I mean, Glasgow pubs are full of guys that say they could have made it. Mm-hmm. The difference is just there. I mean, obviously, you've got to have the ability. That's undoubted. 100%. But you can have all the ability in the world. If you don't have the right attitude, that leads to not the right work ethic.
If you don't want it, then you'll not get it.
Or definitely. Not want it enough.
If you don't want it.
Say, I want to be a football player.
No, I know. But if you don't want it, then you'll not be a football player.
Well, Charlie, it's been an absolute pleasure. I can't thank you enough for your time. One last thing I'll ask everybody. If you could do it all again, would you change anything?
I would probably want to be playing now when you're getting 100 grand a week.
To be born 20, 30 years younger. Well, listen, it's been fantastic, Charlie.
Thank you. No worries, my pal. Cheers, bud.
Cheers.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.